Well, you got your Bible. Let's go to John 14. I want to ask you to rise as we stand. I'm going to read the first 5 verses and then ask you to read aloud verse 6. So while we all stand, we're finding John's Gospel, chapter 14. I'm preaching out of chapter 14, verse 6, last Sunday, this Sunday, and next, looking at the way, the truth, and the life. Last Sunday, we saw the way, how that we belong. Amen. Today, see the truth. It's the way that we believe. Next Sunday, the life, the way that we behave, and how the life of the Spirit lives in us and through us. John's Gospel, chapter 14, I'll read verses 1 through 5. You join me at verse number 6 aloud. Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Let's answer his question. Read it aloud with me. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." One more time, verse number 6. Jesus answered that question. Let's read it aloud. Here we go. And Jesus said to him, Father, I pray now that you would speak to us, help us to know the truth, and thank you that when we know it, it will set us free. Thank you, Jesus, for being truth. And it's in your name we pray and we ask for harvest. Amen and amen. If you turn to a Jewish friend and ask one of those in Judaism, where is truth revealed? They will open to you the Torah. If you ask a Muslim, where is truth revealed? They will open to you the Quran. If you ask a Christian, where is truth revealed? That Christian should not open a Bible, but should point you to Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified and risen Lord and Savior, because the Scriptures speak of Him, Jesus said. He is the truth. You see, we do not derive our identity from creeds or commandments, causes, or cultic practices, but from a connection with the crucified and risen Christ. Jesus is truth. It is found in the person, our Messiah, our Savior, our Lord, our coming King. John 18, Jesus is talking before Pilate, and we find in verse 36 that Jesus answered and he said to him, "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, So you're a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I'm a king. For this I have been born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him and asked this question, "What is truth?" Seems today the whole world is awash in asking that question. What is truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth. No man comes unto the Father but through me." Truth. I never studied the word truth in the New Testament, but somehow it doesn't rise up in my mind to think of Colonel Jessup. The old movie, A Few Good Men. The prosecutor's pressing the question about wanting to know the truth, and he says, "You can't stand the truth." Somebody said to me this morning, "Pastor, I see you're preaching on truth. You should have shown that video clip. Well, you evidently hadn't watched it lately. It's a little salty in some places, all right? Colonel Jessup, that old Marine colonel, was pretty tough, but he says, you can't handle the truth. I'm here to tell you there's a lot of people in our world today, it seems like they just simply cannot handle the truth. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 8, that we can do nothing against the truth. Let me tell you, friend, the truth stands like an anvil. You can't come against the truth. You can do nothing against the truth. One of these days you'll be dead and gone, but I'm here to tell you the truth will still stand. We don't do anything against the truth. We just do it for the truth. See, the truth is eternal. It is forever. You may say, well, truth changes. Oh, no. Truth is truth is truth. From all eternity, truth has been, is, and will be truth. We look at things a little different, but I'm telling you, truth is eternal, and you do nothing against the truth. That's why God said in Psalm 111 in verse number 7, the works of His hands, the works David said of God's hands are truth and justice. All of His precepts are true. God doesn't change. No variableness, no turning in Him. He has in His hands truth and justice. He does that that's right every time. Jesus made some absolutely audacious truth claims. I want to give you four of them this morning. I want to show you these four audacious truth claims that Jesus made, and then I want to illustrate it through a friend of mine about truth, and then I'm going to give a gospel invitation, and I'm going to ask you to step out and come to Jesus. Come right here. I'll be standing here. Come take my, put your hand in my hand, give God your heart. Come today, be saved. Come join this church. Come today to make a confession. Come fall in this altar and follow after the one who is the truth. One day, listen to me. One day you're going to be glad you followed after the truth. You're following a false trail, get off that trail and follow after the one who is true. Who is the truth? For all time and eternity, Jesus is the truth. He made some audacious claims. Look at them. Just four of them I want you to see with me this morning. First of all, Jesus claimed to be sent by God. To be sent by God. In John 17 and verse number 3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Jesus said, "God sent me." In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, we find Peter preaching. He says, "There's salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Listen to me, dear friend. When you could not reach up to God yourself, God reached down to you. God sent His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if anyone would believe, that not perish but have eternal life. God loved you and sent His Son. And Jesus understood He was the one, He was the truth, and He was sent by God. You either got to be crazy or telling the truth to make that statement. Jesus said, "I've been sent by God." Number two, second truth claim that we find in Christ is that Jesus claimed to be the source of all truth. Listen to what He said in John 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are truly disciples of Mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you," what's that word? Say it out loud. Free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Some of you are so mired in your own sin and muck. I'm telling you, God will set you free if you come to Jesus. He's the truth. You know Him. He'll set you free. Some of you are so caught up in what man says about you. Some of you have been so scarred about what your fathers have said about you. You think you're stupid and ugly and you don't count for anything. Let me tell you, Heavenly Father loves you. He made you. He's got a plan for you. He cares for you. And I'm telling you, He'll set you free from all of that false intellect that you got in your life. Some of you are so caught up in yourself. Some of you don't think you're a zero. Some of you think you're a hero. And He's going to set you free from your selfishness and your self-centeredness. You'll get over yourself and come to Christ, and you'll understand who you are in Jesus, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you what? He'll set you free. He will set you free. Jesus claims to be the source of all truth. He will set you free. you free. Jesus claimed to be sent by God. Number two, Jesus claimed to be the source of truth. Number three, Jesus claimed, don't miss this, Jesus claimed to be equal with God. John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are how many? One. When Jesus said, I and the Father are one, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered and said, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? And the Jews answered him, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. You've said you are God. He did. Said he was equal with God. Can you imagine if you went home today, turned on the television, guy walked out there in front of the world and said, I am God. You'd say, well, I probably won't listen to this fool. You might even pick up a stone. So he ought to be dead. Such blasphemy. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus stepped out into the known world and said to the religious leaders, I and the Father are one. He claimed to be equal with God. What an audacious claim. Philip in John 14, verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, he's speaking to Jesus, show us the Father and it's enough. And Jesus said, I've been with you so long with you and yet you've not come to know me, Philip. Say, Philip, what's wrong with you? What's between your ears, son? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe? Do you not now believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Philip, hey Philip, what's the matter with you? Jesus is making this audacious claim. Equal with God? You got to be kidding. But the fourth is the worst. Jesus claimed to be the exclusive way of salvation. He's saying that there's no other way to heaven. That's what he said in our text, John 14, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Nobody. Not a Catholic, not a Jew, not a Hindu, not a Baptist. No one comes to the Father but that they come through me. Jesus said, I'm the gate, I'm the only way, I'm the only life, I'm the only truth. Friend, you're not going to glory if you don't come through me. That's what Jesus, this is the most audacious claim. His exclusivity. See, you can preach Jesus is one of many routes, but when you say he's exclusive, this world will stone you. But that's exactly what Jesus said. Listen to what John the Baptist said about it. He's the forerunner of Jesus. He said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, beginning verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things. He's given everything into his hand. And he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John said, God's given Jesus the life. He is the soul dispenser. Exclusiveness. So you mean, preacher, if I just live good, that's not enough? You got it. I'll make you this deal. If you will never sin, it'll be good enough. But you already have. Because there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none without sin. And the Bible says if you sin one time, as if you're guilty of all. You say, what if I just bat 52%? I live 52 good, 48 bad. I do more good than bad. Not enough. I doubt your math, but that's still not good enough. Because there's none righteous. I don't care if you're black or white, rich or poor, young or old. You can be a Baptist and not make it. There'd be a lot of Baptists in hell. Had nothing but some false, fake, hollow, empty religion. They're straight as a gun barrel, but just as empty. You got to come to Jesus. He says, I'm the way. I'm the exclusive way. No man goes to the Father but that he comes through me. Wow. These claims of Jesus are not only audacious, they are exclusive. One cannot escape the narrowness of their implication. The law of non-contradiction leads us to the conclusion that the claims of Jesus are either true or they are false, but they cannot be both true and false at the same time. The law of the excluded middle negates the option of a gray area in between. Jesus' claims are black or white. No middle ground. Jesus claimed to be God and the only way to salvation. If his claims are false, Jesus either knew they were false or he thought they were true. If Jesus claimed to be God and the only way to salvation but knew that his claims were false, he's a liar. If Jesus sincerely thought he was God and that he could forgive all sin of all men, but it wasn't true, his claims would be the delusional statements of a man that's got a mental disorder. What option best fits the evidence? The scripture and the testimony of history and the empty tomb present Jesus as a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. There's only one option, but you must pick one. Jesus is one of those three. He's either just a liar and he knows he was not the Son of God, or he was delusional and thought he was and he ought to have been in a rubber room. Or he really is the Christ and he's Lord of all. He's one of those three. One can't simply believe that Jesus was a good man or a wise teacher. That is the dumbest statement you can ever make. There are a lot of wise men, good teachers in this room. Jesus was not just wise or a good teacher. As a matter of fact, if he said he was the only way to heaven and he wasn't a very good teacher. Matter of fact, he wasn't very wise. He was delusional. You can't just boil him down to a wise man or a good teacher. You slap him in the face if you make him a wise man or a good teacher. He's much more. If you dismiss the claims of Jesus as false, by default, you either believe Jesus to be deceptive or delusional. If you do not regard the statement of Jesus as true, you cannot accept him as a moral man or a spiritual teacher. I'm telling you, if he was not what he said he was, he is then perverted, immoral, ungodly. He's either liar, lunatic, or Lord. And based on the profound example of Jesus' life and the historicity of his claims, I'm here to tell you you're looking and listening to one preacher today that believes and is convinced that Jesus is the only Savior of the world, the Lord of all creation. He is the one who died. There's an empty tomb where he got up from the grave. That sets him apart from any man that ever lived. No one else has ever done it. And if he got up from the grave, he is Lord. He is worthy of worship. He's the only way to heaven because he's opened the door and you ought to follow him in there. I'm here to tell you Jesus is King Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He is the way. He is the life, and no man, rich, poor, red, yellow, black, white, up, down, left, right, no person comes to the Father but through Jesus. He's the sufficient Savior, the true Lamb of God, poured out for you. And when you come to know him, then you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. I have an old suit today. I wore it for a friend. She used to sit on the third row. Her birthday was this week. Sheila Binion. The first time she came to Olive, she came drunk. But she sat there and God touched her and she called out to the Lord and He saved her. And Jesus became the stronger stuff. I was so glad that I watched her get her 20-year pen for being clean and sober. Every time I would wear this suit, this tie, it's an old tie, it's big and wide. She said, "That's a conviction suit. Don't wear that." Is there not put this suit on? She'd always see me on Sunday. She said, "Oh, Pastor, God's going to get after me today. That's that conviction suit," because I was wearing it the day she got right with the Lord. I saw her birthday pop up this week. And I'm so glad we preach stronger stuff. She contracted throat cancer. Her tongue, her vocal folds. She couldn't talk. Had to deal in her throat. I go by and see her. The last time I visited, I held her hand. She held mine. She said, "Pastor, I'm scared." I said, "Scared of dying?" She said, No. I know where I'm going. I'm just scared of the journey. I'd never been there before." She'd write it on paper because I couldn't understand her. A couple of days after that, I got the call. She went across the river. I preached her funeral. Today, she's got a strong voice. The new body, the new heaven, waiting for a new earth because of stronger stuff. She came to Jesus. Jesus set her free. He lifted the burden. He took away the wickedness. Oh, there was a struggle? Yeah, there was a struggle. That's what we talk about next week when we talk about the life, the inner life. Some of you sit here today, you've never come to Jesus. You've been to church, but you got to come to Jesus. You got to say, "Lord, save me." And I'm telling you, if you will, He'll set you free. You say, "Preacher, I've been saved, but I've kind of drifted," and you ought to come home today. You ought to come home. Some of you are mired and got that mess all over you. You hide it well, but you know deep inside the truth has not set you free. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, not me, but Jesus. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl crosses the river to the Father. But you come through me. And I'll tell you what Jesus did for sweet Sheila. He'd do for you if you call on Him today. Everybody ever called, He called public. Jesus called public, and Sheila had to get up and come. She came right here, never forget it. Some of you say, "Preacher, I'm scared to come." I know, it's a long trip. But you've believed in your heart, and you're ready to go public. Everybody Jesus called, He called them to go public. You come here and trust Him, you go into the baptistry. You got to say, "I believe. I believe." Pilate didn't believe. Agrippa said, almost, I'm persuaded. Peter said, Lord, whether I live or die, I'll fall after you. There's the call of God in this room today. He says, come. Some of you have been saved, but you never joined Olive, and you say, I would be a part of this church, and you ought to come link with us today. But the primary invitation is for one somebody, you, that would come. 2 weeks ago, I was in Dallas. I stood at my hero's grave. Brother Steve, Dr. Criswell, I went to his grave. I told y'all this. The guy that showed me the grave, he said, look right around the corner before you leave. And I did. I went around, and Mickey Mantle buried there. I said, wow. One of the greatest. You know what mattered when the Mick died? It was that Bobby Richardson had told him if he'd trust Jesus, Jesus set him free, and Mickey Mantle believed on the name of Christ. Didn't matter if he hit 400. Didn't matter if he hit 60 home runs. You had to come to the King of Kings, the champion of the world. The guy's got stronger stuff.